Amen. Amen. The anonymous author of this epistle of Hebrews is believed to have been the Apostle Paul. He addressed a specific group of Hebrew Christians that were part of what is called the dispersion from the land of Israel. These Christians who were dispersed or who had left Israel now resided in lands that belonged to the Gentiles. They had come to know Christ as the Messiah and as their Savior through the preaching of the gospel after the day of Pentecost. And there were sects in the church at that time who claimed that the Jewish ceremonial system was still needed to be observed by those who professed Christ as Savior, and especially by those Gentiles who had never been brought up under the ceremonial law. And this would lead then to a system or salvation by a system of faith and works side by side. Salvation is by faith alone, through Christ alone. But this system would bring faith and works alongside each other and have that preeminent part together in salvation. That is wrong. That is contrary to the word of God. And Paul wrote a letter to these believers, and it contained an exposition of the ceremonial system. He pointed out that this system, these laws, pointed to Jesus Christ. The prophecies of the Old Testament, the types and the figures, pointed to the one who would be the Savior of this world. And in this group of Hebrews, in the chapter 11, Paul shows forth the importance of faith. And he tells these Hebrew believers about some of the great heroes of the Jewish faith. Men of God like David and Gideon and Samson is mentioned as well. Men like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He refers to the faith of these men. These men were saved by faith. They looked forward to that day in which Christ would come. But they believed by faith. And we today, we believe by faith. But we look back to that day in which Christ did come and die on the cross of Calvary for the sins of his people. And in Hebrews 12, the apostle in verse 1 makes an allusion to the public games that the Greeks were involved with. This passage is a continuation of Hebrews chapter 11. We see that through the word wherefore. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Paul uses this illustration of a race numerous times during his epistles. He uses illustrations to do with fighting the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, he told Timothy. But this race, this illustration of running the race, running the Christian life, as it were, is used time and time again by the apostle. And these believers, while they were Jews, they were dispersed Jews, they were in Gentile cities, they would have known the Greek customs, the Greek culture of that day. And in a place called Olympia, in Greece, Grecian youths would participate in certain games. For a pre-runner or forerunner of our Olympics today. And every few years they would compete in these games. And one of those events was a race. Was a running race in which the course would be mapped out for the contestant. And they would run amid the spectators on either side. And in front of the judges, many of the judges who perhaps in days gone by once ran this race and completed this race and even won this race. And Paul uses this as an illustration of the Christian walk. He tells these believers to run with patience the race that is set before them. And today I want us to consider in the will of God running the race of faith. Running the race of faith. I want you to consider first of all the composition of this race. What exactly is this race? Well, it is the race of faith. The race of faith, the Christian life, is compared to as a race, as a course that is mapped out for the runner. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The race is the Christian life. Notice here that we have the path. The path. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There is a course that is marked out. There is a track that the runner knows that he has to run. There is an appointed race, as it were. They are to run this race, the race that is planned for them. God has foreordained our lives. God knows what we will do. God has planned out everything according to his purpose, according to his will. And that is the race that we run, the race that is set before us. The race in God's will for us. Of course, if our lives have been planned out by God, and what a comfort it is for the child of God, for the believer to know that at every hurdle, that every turn in this race, God has planned it. God is there. God knows that it is going to happen to us. There are problems that will come to us. There are trials we will face, but it has been marked out by the Lord. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And the verse 28. There are problems that will come to us in this race. Problems, difficulties, sorrow that we all have to face. But God has, in his foreknowledge, planned these things out. And in verse 28 of Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What a verse that is. Paul is saying that we know that all things, whatsoever happens to us, whatever happens to us, we know that they will work together for good. For God has planned them. God has ordained them. And everything is to the glory of God. God has planned out that situation that perhaps you're struggling with. God knows the solution to it. God will work it out for his own glory. You may not have the answer that you may want, but it will work together for good to them that love God. God is in control. And we ought to trust him and trust his will. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. The thoughts of the Lord are far above the thoughts of man. When we pray to the Lord, perhaps we expect answers there and then. That might not be the Lord's case. He has an appointed time for the answer to our prayers. An appointed time. Yes, it may be instantly. It may be immediately. But it may be in the future. The Lord will answer the prayers of his people. The Lord will answer our prayers. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And we ought to trust him. His hand is on our situations. He has planned out this race for us. He has foreordained it. May we continually look to the Lord for help, for grace in our times of need. There are problems, and we've touched on this already, problems in the race. The enemy specifically will try and hinder us. The enemy will stop us from running the race. We ought to trust the Lord. We ought to follow the Lord's will. And then there is the prize. The prize in this race. Paul said, to the Philippians, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and the chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And the apostle here again refers to this race, or running this race. He says in the verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Those who run in a race in the Olympic Games, or a race in the Commonwealth Games, or any other race, will achieve a prize, achieve a crown that is corruptible. A prize that is material. A prize that is off this earth. But those who run the race of faith, run the race that is before them, the race of the Christian life, as it were, will have that crown, that prize that is incorruptible, that prize in glory, that prize in the promised land, the well done of God, an eternal peace, happiness and joy in the presence of God. What a race it is. What a prize is at the end of it. And every child of God today that are saved, if you're saved and walking with the Lord, at the end of the race, you will have that prize of eternal life, that crown of gold in the land of glory. What a promise that is. What a prize that is. What a motivation that is to run this race with patience. And then I want you to notice, secondly, here the history of this race. The history of this race. The ancient Greeks, like today, they ran their race in front of spectators, in front of witnesses. And Paul alludes to this in the verse 1. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What does he mean? Well, a witness is somebody who bears testimony. And perhaps is even an onlooker or a spectator of something that happens. Who are these witnesses then? Well, we have to bear in mind that chapter 12 is a continuation of chapter 11. Originally, there were no chapter divisions. There were no verse divisions. And chapter 12, verse 1, is a continuation of the previous chapter. And in that context, Paul continues into verse 1 of chapter 12. So these witnesses are in chapter 11. The testimonies of the men of God from ages gone by, they are the witnesses. Those who have run their race, those who have fought the good fight, those men of faith who have completed their race here on earth. As John Brown put it, he said, seeing we have so many witnesses to the power and importance of preserving faith, let us persevere in believing. We are exhorted then by Paul to follow in the footsteps of these believers. He mentions them in Hebrews 11. And in Hebrews 12 verse 1, he exhorts us. He exhorts these Christians. He exhorts us today as believers in Christ to run this race with patience. Looking back at previous participants, these men ran their race with patience. And so let us run our race. They are the witnesses. They are the worthy saints from Hebrews 11. The worthy saints from Jewish history. Why are they witnesses? Well, their history has been passed down from generation to generation. Their testimony is known by these Christians. They knew who Noah was. They knew who Moses was, who David was. They knew of Abraham, the father of the faithful. And they could look back at their testimony. And these men were saved the same way as these Hebrew Christians. They were saved by faith. There are those who say that in the Old Testament, the saints of God were saved a different way. They were converted by a different means than those in the New Testament. Or even today. That is a false teaching. These saints of God were saved by faith. They look forward to Christ, and we are saved by faith. Only we look back to the cross of Calvary. They were saved the same way. We ought not to forget that. They were saved by faith. They left this great example to those who will run this race of faith. What an example it is. Men who loved the Lord. Men who served the Lord. Men who gave their all for Jesus Christ. For the Lord and for the Lord's will for their lives. They had difficulties. They had problems. But they still ran their race. It was not an easy race. They persevered through faith. Through faith. Notice Abel in verse 4 of chapter 11. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his spirits, and by it being dead, he being dead, yet speaketh. Abel was the son of Adam who offered a sacrifice that was pleasing to God. He worshipped God the way in which God was to be worshipped. He worshipped God by the shedding of blood, a picture of Christ upon the cross of Calvary. He worshipped God the right way and he suffered death because of it, but glory. Glory to be in the presence of God. In verse 5 we have Enoch, that man who never died, but a man who walked with God, a man who knew God, and a man who was translated to heaven because he walked and loved the Lord. What a testimony that is. We have Noah in verse 7, referred to elsewhere as a preacher of righteousness. Noah who built the ark to the saving of his house, the saving of his family. A great man of faith. I'm sure when Noah built the ark, many mocked, many laughed, many scorned him. But he stood firm upon what the Lord had told him. He stood firm in God's word and he obeyed the Lord. He ran that race of faith. Abraham in verses 8 to 12, the father of the faithful, a great man of faith. We have Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses in verse 23 to 29. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And what a testimony that is. A man who, as the son or adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, had perhaps many riches, great fame in the land of Egypt, yet he forsook it all to stand with the people of God. What a testimony that is. What a testimony that is for us to look back at the life of this man and to follow, as it were, use his testimony as an encouragement for ourselves. That is what we are to do. We are to be numbered among the people of God. We are to stand for God and not to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And there are many great truths in the lives of these men of faith. Many great truths that we can bring out to encourage ourselves. To take a stand like they did. And that is what the Apostle Paul is doing. He is saying that these men, they ran their race. They ran the course that had been laid out for them. And then they went home to glory. They finished their course. They finished their race. They endured. And so ought we. So ought we. We ought to endure as well. We ought to endure. We have our trials to face. We have our hurdles to get over. We ought to trust the Lord. It's good to read books of testimonies. Whether it be like Hebrews 11. Or whether it be of saints of God from our era. We ought to read and see how God dealt with them. They met situations that perhaps are similar to ours. We can be encouraged from their attitude toward them. These men in Hebrews 11, they had their problems. Some even had sin that greatly affected them. David sinned against God. Moses sinned against God. These men were not perfect. And we will never be perfect. Though we ought to strive to be Christ-like. These men had their failings. They had their failings. But we can get encouragement from the fact that they walked with God. We will have our failings too. We will stumble. But we ought to look to the Lord to help us and to strengthen us to run this race. Then thirdly here, notice the instructions for this race. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. We are to run the straight race, as the hymn writer said, through God's good grace. Lift up thine eyes to seek his face. Life with its path before thee lies. Christ is the way and Christ the prize. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And what the Apostle Paul is saying here is that these Olympic athletes, these men who were running this race, they lay aside every weight. They lay aside those things that were cumbersome, those things that were heavy, those things that would restrict them in running and pressing toward the mark, the finish line. They left them behind. You would not have found a runner wearing the heavy royal robes of a king. You would not have found a runner carrying a bag on his back filled with rocks. No. They cast away all those things in order to run this race swiftly, to get to the finish line quickly, and to persevere in the race. They lay aside everything that would hinder the progress, and they have a desire to do their best. And so should we. We ought to desire to do our best for God. We ought to leave things behind that will restrict us, things that will slow us down, things that will perhaps make us stumble and fall. These awkward things in our race are referred to as sin. Sin can slow us down. Sin can beset us. Sin can stop us in running this race for God. So for us to persevere, everything in our lives that is sinful must be cast aside. It must be left behind as we run. Everything that is sinful must be abandoned and avoided by the child of God. 1 John 2 verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. And we need to set aside these things that can so easily beset us, so that we can concentrate and focus upon running this race. What things can hinder us? Thus, desires of the flesh can hinder us. There are things in this life, such as power, glory, fame, money. All these things can hinder us in running the race. Some of these things may not be sinful in and of themselves, but if they're put first, if they become a stumbling block, then it is sin. There are things in our lives, something that is sinful perhaps to one Christian, something that is a stumbling block to them, something that perhaps they're addicted to and comes before them and God, another Christian, doesn't see that as a stumbling block because it's not to them. And so vice versa. There are things in all our lives that can come between us and the Lord, come between us and running this race. And all these things ought to be disposed of. There ought to be self-denial. Those things that can make us stumble, those things that will make us fail in running this race ought to be cast aside. There may be things that we enjoy. We ought to deny self. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We need to deny ourselves. We need to take up the cross. We ought to lay aside every weight, everything that will hinder our progress. We ought to take up the cross and follow Christ. Is there something in your life that is coming between you and the Lord, hindering your progress in the race? hindering perhaps your witness for Christ, hindering something that you can do for the Lord. There are things that can hinder us. For example, say the Tuesday night prayer meeting. It is our duty to attend. But if something trivial, say even football, is on television and we put it before the prayer meeting, that is sin, that is that stumbling block in the race for us. Yes, there are those who will have their duties to perform in regard to work, maybe in the family and other things, and they cannot be present at the prayer meeting. But those things that are avoidable, those things that are trivial, those things that, like football, can take over our lives so that we turn away from the place of prayer in the house of God, those things ought to be avoided. It may not be. It is not sin to watch it as such, but if it comes between the Lord, then it is sin. We ought to be careful. We ought to lay aside those things that so easily beset us. There are many things that can beset us. That was just one example. But I'm sure you can think of things yourselves that can come between you and the Lord. Even your daily walk with the Lord. Things that can come between you and the place of private devotion. Many a person has started the race well, but has stumbled as the race unfolded. May that not be us. May it be a warning to us. May we seek to continually move on for God. And the things that can so easily beset us, may they be cast aside by the help and by the power of God. Then finally, I want you to notice here the encouragement in this race. Verse 2. Looking on to Jesus. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We ought not ourselves to be confident in our own ability. We cannot run this race on our own strength. Because if we try to run on our own strength and on our own ability, we would fail. We need to look to Christ. This looking is an act of faith and trust and hope. Christ is not just an example for us to follow. Not just an example for us to have as we run this race. Yes, Christ is an example, but he is much more than that. Christ is the one in whom we put our trust, in whom we put our faith, in whom we put our hope and our confidence. He is the one that we look to. When we look to him, we look away from those things that would discourage us, from the things of the world that would bring us down, from oppositions, from persecutions. The martyrs, when they died joyfully. They died happily. Why? Because they didn't look to their oppressors. They didn't look to the persecutors. They looked to Jesus Christ. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When George Wishart finished the end of his race on this earth at St. Andrews, back in the 1500s, he said to those that stood round, "I beseech you, Christian brethren and sisters, be not offended at the word of God for the affliction and torments which ye see prepared for me. But I exhort you, love the word, and suffer patiently, and with a comfortable heart for the word's sake, which is your undoubted salvation and everlasting comfort." This man, George Wishart, rejoiced in the Lord. He seen the importance of the word. His salvation was sure and steadfast. He knew that he would be entering into that place of rest. He rejoiced. Because his eyes were on Jesus. And for our encouragement in this race, we ought to put our eyes on Jesus Christ. Why? He is our Savior. He is the one that went to Calvary to die in our place and in our stead. It is because of him that salvation is possible. It is because of him that we are saved and are on this race. He was the one who finished that great work in Calvary, the one who is resurrected, the one who is coming again for us. And he is our trust, and he is our example. The Saviour suffered greatly. He had compassion. He had care for the multitude. He was tender-hearted. He was long-suffering. He was tempted by Satan, yet he resisted. And what an example that is for us, to guide us in our race. May we look to him as our example. We can run a straight race. We cannot run a race that is straight, except we focus on Christ. Except we focus on a marker. Except we focus on somebody or something in the distance. Perhaps somebody that is getting away. For the race of our spiritual lives, we must focus on Christ. We must focus on him. And this word, looking unto Jesus, looking is very strong in the Greek. It means not just to look, but to focus your eyes. To focus upon something, not to turn away from it, but to focus. To focus on it. We are not to look, as it were, these witnesses, though they are for our encouragement. We are not to look at discouragements and trials and problems. We are not to, as it were, look forward at the race ahead and be discouraged, maybe because of its length, because of those things that may arise in it. But we are to look above that and beyond that to Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We are to look to him. Maybe this morning you're tiring in the race. Perhaps you've stumbled. Maybe there's something in your life that is preventing you from running fully the race that is set before you. What should you do? You should look to Christ. Christ is the one who can aid you, pull you out of your difficulties. He can give you strength and courage that you need to get back on your feet and to continue running the race. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. We ought to wait upon the Lord. Seek his face in prayer. Seek his help in our lives as we seek to run this race. May the Lord help us and enable us to run with patience that race that he has set before us. Amen.